Welcome everyone to this fantastic episode of The Whole Body with Linda. We are today interviewing Tina Sibley. Is that your right name, Tina Sibley?
Yes.
Who has had a fantastic life. And when I read her bio and looked at her website, I thought, whoa, we have to have this wonderful, inspiring lady on. So, Tina, tell us about what you do and why you do what you do. How you got there?
Wow. It's been a bit of a journey. I am a life and business coach and have been now for more than 25 years. And I've kind of, you know, been through different iterations of my business. For a long while, I was specializing in helping people with the confidence to do public speaking and get on webinars, that kind of thing. And I do specialize in giving people confidence, although that starts with courage, because the confidence comes after you've done the thing, but you need courage to do the thing in the first place.
That's true.
So that's kind of my specialist area, but I am really, I'm so delighted that you invited me onto your show, because I am becoming more and more and more interested in health, having been on my own health journey. And it's really interesting because if I wind back to this time 5 years ago, although at that stage I'd been coaching for more than 20 years, I still had a few of my own demons. Namely, I hadn't got my own health, weight, fitness, and all of that side of things, and you know, where it really needed to be. And I'd never really been a hiker. I'd living in south of Spain, where I am lucky enough to live, I saw photos that my friends were posting from like hiking trips and days that they've been on, and I was like, oh my god, that looks amazing. I love
have you
the
been
view.
on the Camino? Are you near the Camino?
I'm not, no,
that's oh, okay, sorry to interrupt.
I'm not, no worries, I haven't done that one. It's probably something I will do at some point, but you know, my friends, we got a lot of hiking around this area, and when I expressed an interest, you know, my friends were like, oh, no, you wouldn't be able to join us. You're not fit enough. You're scared of heights.
Oh.
You wouldn't like it. Not for you, blah, 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 blah.
Ah.
Right. And I thought, well, I'd like to at least try. And they were quite right. I did go along and I couldn't keep up. Within like 20 minutes, I knew I was going to have to drop out, do my own thing. But of course, it's all to there's a couple of things going on here. First of all, I was running stories in my own head, despite being a coach, despite having done all the NLP training, mindset training. My own stories about my physical capabilities were like dreadful. And but I had this yearning to do a bucket list item of hiking the Inca Trail and going to Machu Picchu.
Yeah.
I had no idea what that entailed or what it meant. And when I started looking at it, and I was like, oh my God, but that's a bit of a long hike and at altitude. But I didn't want to take the train to Machu Picchu. I always had a thing about the Incas and South American culture, you know, the Mayans, the Aztecs. And I was like, no, I want to do the Inca Trail. But here's the thing, and I think this is a message that is so important to everybody, and especially your listeners. You can't jump in at the same level as people who've been doing it 20, 30 years. And so me joining a hiking group with those people who'd hiked, and some of them, yeah, they were my age or even older, but they were retired. They hiked like 3-4 times a week. They've been hiking for 20, 30 years. For me to think that I could keep up with them, nonsense, you know? So I realized I just had to start my own way, doing my own little thing, basically getting off the sofa and going into the street and doing it, but slowly, bit by bit. And then all of a sudden, it's surprising how fast you can progress. The big mistake we make is we compare ourselves to people who are more advanced than us at that time.
So just taking you back, I don't know whether this is the timeline you're at, but I see that you were working in the finance industry and that you were Your job was part of measuring daily goals and weekly stats and all of those
Yeah.
things. I've been in the banking industry myself, so I know what that means, meeting your targets and doing all your things. You get so busy doing your things that you forget about you. So were you at that point that you started hiking, had you just, were you still working in finance or because
No, I actually left the financial industry a long while ago.
okay.
Quite 20 odd years ago now. 20, in fact,
Right.
23 years ago.
Yep.
But I do still sometimes go in and do work
Oh.
for finance companies. But I kind of morphed into training from being selling financial services. I went into training and development within corporate land, and that's
Ah.
what led me coaching, teaching people, training people, coaching. And then I kind of went self-employed for the first time in January 2000, 24
Oh,
years ago. I
right.
know.
Good job.
But in with the whole thing of, building your own business, and even with the knowledge I had as a coach, I still wasn't looking after myself. I was still, I was on the road a lot, driving all
Yeah.
around the country, delivering training, delivering coaching, trying to get clients, going to networking. So the health, and it's, I was sedentary.
Yes.
I was either sat in my car driving,
Yes.
or I was sitting, or maybe standing, but in a training room delivering, or I
Yes.
sit coaching, whether that's online or in meetings, very sedentary. So I piled the weight on.
Yep. Easy.
I did start getting a bit active. I started doing salsa, which I loved.
Oh, yes, I saw that you're a salsa dancer. Yes.
Yeah, but it still wasn't enough. And
Yeah,
then
no.
I got to the point just over 5 years ago now. It was like Christmas time, New Year. And a couple of things happened. It's a sad fact that when you start getting older yourself, people like when you're younger and people pass away and they're like a lot older than you, and you just think, ah, you think you've got all the time in the world. But I started having friends who are my age or younger passing away. And I suddenly realized, well, if I don't do this Inca Trail now, I may never get the chance. I don't know how long I got left. So I started thinking, right, I want to do this. And I started slowly and I started training. And, everybody told me I was crazy. You'll get the train, you won't be able to do it. And I had to not listen to them. I had to think, well, I don't know if I'm capable, but I know I'm capable of trying and giving it my best shot.
Yes, I love
That's what
that.
I did. Yeah. And I just used a lot of my own coaching techniques on myself and my, visualizations. I actually got some therapy to deal with my fear of heights, because
Oh,
that was
good.
something that, even though I'm a coach, I wasn't managing to do that on my own. All it took was two sessions to top up what I do myself anyway. And I dealt with that. And that was a long-standing phobia, and it was a severe one.
Wow.
And I started to transform. I started to change. And the thing that I realized, to cut a long story short, and if anybody's interested about the process, I wrote a
Yes, I
book,
am trekking the Inca Trail.
and you can get it on Kindle right now for only 99p,
A fat
or
old bird
99
to a
cents.
healthy,
Sorry,
happy
99
adventurer.
US cents. Yeah. And because literally, and people said, you're a coach, but I basically called myself a fat old bird. Yeah. I said, how could I hike Inca Trail? I'm a fat old bird. And people said, oh, you mustn't talk to yourself that way. But I'm like, let's not sugarcoat it. This is the reality.
Right, you're just being honest with
And
yourself.
no, yeah. And no, I don't, I'm not a negative, massive critical. I don't beat myself up, but I'm like, no, let's be realistic about the starting point here. Anyway, cut a long story short, I did it. And it was day three on the Inca Trail when I'm up in these like mountains, and I'd done the hardest part by that point. Day two and the morning of day three are the tough parts. From there on,
Oh.
it's pretty much, you know, you're going to do it. It's plain sailing. So it's the it's you know, I've done the got to the second high pass on the like middle of day three, and we were all having a break, and the guide said you can go up off the trail and sit by, get some alone time to take it all in. So I did, and I went up there and I sat on this rock and I'm looking over peak after peak after peak, and I'm filled with something that, despite being in the coaching role for 25 years, despite doing all the big events, the weekend conferences, the courses, the even the Tony Robbins and the firewalk, nothing gave me the feeling that I had when I was up in those mountains. And it was
Oh,
a
wow.
feeling, it was a combination of pride, joy, elation that I'd done it, elation that
Yes.
I there. And it is such a spiritual place to be. And I realized the reason, you know, all those motivational posters you see, you know, where they feature a person standing on top of a mountain, looking over the mountain, that just on its own. But when you combine, and also one of the things I learned was doing my coaching exercises on myself out in nature was so much more powerful than doing them at home in your normal environment or whatever. And being in that place, doing those like visualizations, and what I did was I anchored all those feelings, and it just blew me away. And like I said, I never felt anything like it before. And I just remember thinking, this feeling is so amazing. I felt unstoppable, invincible, even.
Done.
And I just went, this is what I want my clients to feel.
All
I want to
right, yes.
bring people, I actually want to go as far as bringing people here and coaching
Gosh.
them on the trail. And that's my ambition now. And that's the direction I'm going in. But I realized I actually need to start smaller. So I'm actually starting now. Whereas the whole world has gone online, I'm going offline, and
Oh.
I'm actually wanting to coach people in nature. So I want to be
Oh,
doing like
okay.
retreats, in-person events. But people that I work with, like let's say for example, you and I were working together. Clearly, it's not easy for us to say, hey, let's go on a hike on a weekend. You're in Australia, I'm in Spain. I've got
Yes,
other clients who are in the USA or in the UK. But what I'm doing is saying, right, let's have a coaching session. Maybe we can't do it in person, but I want you outdoors. So take your phone, go find, if you live in a big city, go find a quiet place in a park where you can sit on a bench and be under some trees, because I want you to experience this in nature so that we're taking you out of your usual environment. And it's so powerful, Linda. I can't tell you how amazing
Wow.
it is. And it just, like I said, nothing felt the way that I felt, even all the Tony Robbins stuff. And that is, I mean, I don't want to take away from what Tony people
No,
like
no.
Robbins, they do some amazing work, but a lot of it is hype. When you
Okay.
go on your, when you do a lot of this deep work on your own in
Yes.
nature or one-to-one with a coach in nature, it's longer lasting. And
Yes.
this lasted longer. I can still recall that
Yes.
as
I think it's still
the,
there. I don't think it's gone. I think you've still got
no,
it.
it hasn't, and it will never leave me. And the other thing it did is once I started, and I love that you're all about whole body,
Yes.
because I had been working with the mind and the emotions for years. But when I started bringing the body into that, it made such a difference. And I
Right.
was like, my goodness. And when I started realizing that I could challenge myself physically, and then I started mapping the lessons from that journey onto life. So let's say you want to, I don't know, even a local hill. in my area. Like there's a lovely hike that we do, and the start of it has got a real tough incline of about 300 meters. So what's that? About 1,000 feet.
Yep.
And it's hard, it's
That's
steep.
hard. That is
Yeah.
steep.
And but you get like a third of the way up even. And you're like, oh, I've got so much further still to go. But you turn around and see how far you've come already in just 20 minutes, and you just
Yes.
go, wow. And it's true in life. You know, you might have a big goal, but you make a start, and then all of a sudden you make progress and you think, wow, I'm here already, you know? And
Yeah,
that is
you look
motivating.
back.
And then once you do achieve something quite big, like when I did the Inca Trail, that for me was a monumental achievement.
That's huge, yes.
But then when I got back, somebody said as a joke to me, what's next then, team? Kilimanjaro?
Oh.
And like, if you'd have said that to me 5 years ago, I would have said, not in a million years, no chance, not even on my radar. That is just like one step too far. But
So
having
wait,
done the
how high is the Inca Trail?
Okay, so the highest point on the Inca Trail is 4,200 meters, which is a pass called Dead Woman's Pass. Not because people die there, but because
That.
the formation of the rock looks like a woman who's like on a flat on her back sort of thing.
Oh, right.
Kilimanjaro is 5,895, so
Right.
you're
So it's,
talking pretty much a third again. But
yes.
when I came back and somebody said, what about that? I went, And I didn't dismiss it. I went, well, maybe I could. And I realized after I did, when I was in Peru, after doing the Inca Trail, I also did Rainbow Mountain, because it's like you can't come to Peru
Yep,
and not go and have a look at this famous Instagram, you know, mountain of seven colors, as they call it out there. And I did that, and I succeeded, and it was the day after I'd done the Inca Trail, so I was already exhausted to start with, and I did it, and that was 5,100 meters. So my little head's going, well, if I did 5,100 meters, maybe I could do 5,895. So I started researching, and I did. I
You
went to
did.
Africa, and I've done Kilimanjaro now, not just once, but twice.
Oh, goodness.
And the first time I was 61, and the second time I was 62.
Goodness
And
me.
I just realized you can do more than you think you can. And it's just all about what's up here. But it's about training, not just the mind, not just the emotion, not just the spirit, but the body as
The
well.
body as well. So that
And
brings me to my next question. What do you need to do to train? Like, how did you start? Going out your front door on day one, walking, how
literally,
far?
yeah. I walked for half an hour,
Yep.
and where I
Okay.
live, where I live is hilly, so it was up a hill,
Yep.
and yeah, it nearly killed me. But I just kept doing it, and then of course, but here's the big thing: I now had a reason. I think previously, even though I was a coach, and intellectually, I knew that I should be looking after my health and my fitness and losing weight. I didn't have any health issues at that time.
Yeah.
And I didn't really have a reason. And I had other priorities which seemed to be higher, like growing my business, like earning money, you know, and all that kind of thing. But all of a sudden, I knew that if I didn't do this training, I wasn't going to do the Inca Trail.
Right.
And I had that fear of missing out. I had the
Mm.
fear, what was driving me was the fear of regret.
Yes.
And I went, I'm going to do it. And so I did. I found the time, and I went walking several times a week. And I started going further and further. I started incorporating more and more inclines. And once you kind of make that start, suddenly it became easier to think, well, I got to start watching what I'm eating as well.
Yes, right, because it goes hand in hand, right?
And
It
you know,
does.
I had a few mishaps, shall we say? And
Of course.
I've written about it in my book. You know, it's really funny. I bought one of these mindset programs from Mind Valley. I did all this mind meditation, which I've been doing for years anyway, but I'm like, I'm gonna do this. And the day after, I just got the munchies. I ended up going to the shop. I bought a packet of biscuits. Oh, I'll make it last a week. I bought a chocolate orange
Oh,
and I
yeah.
bought God knows what else. I ate the whole lot within 2 hours.
Did you? It was that was it. You were having it.
What? But what I did was instead of going, oh, well, that's it, I just went, okay, I've had a bit meltdown. Tomorrow's a new day. Start
Start
again.
again.
And
Yes.
that's what I did. And I kind of gave myself permission. It wasn't a that's it, you're never going to eat sugar again. You're never having chocolate. You're never having it. It was just like, okay, if I need it, if I really, really feel I want it, I'm going to go and have some, but I'm going to limit it. And
Yeah.
as soon as I took away the you can't,
Yes, powerful.
suddenly I told myself, well, you can if you want. However, you want to do the Inca Trail even more.
Yeah,
And
isn't
suddenly,
our minds are powerful, aren't they?
oh,
So,
minds
so
are.
powerful.
But once I started to get my health and started to feel stronger, that is intoxicating, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
I remember distinctly the because I remember, when you start, you kind of you go out for a hike or a walk or you do some exercise, and then you feel like crap. Your muscles ache, you
Yes.
hurt, you feel tired, and you think, I thought exercise is supposed to be good for you. And you've got to do it, because that's the other thing. It's like gung-ho, you know, and overdo it.
Yes, and
And
then you
I had to learn to pace myself.
Yes, important.
When I learned to pace myself, suddenly I started to make that real progress. And I distinctly remember the first day I was trekking up. There's this hill that I was using. I actually used to go over into Gibraltar, and
Oh,
there's a
yeah.
trail. There's a famous trail there. They call it the Med Steps, Mediterranean Steps, and it's really steep, you know. And I was going up there, and I suddenly felt I feel so strong. And I could feel that my legs felt like little machines, like little
Yeah,
pistons
good.
working. And I'm
Great.
like, I like how this feels.
It's a good
I
feeling, isn't
really,
it?
it's an amazing feeling. And that just kind of drove me to kind of keep doing it. But talking about not overdoing it, I got addicted to the whole mountaineering type thing.
Did
And
you?
I did Kilimanjaro in February. Now, to train for Kilimanjaro, I hiked a lot of local mountains here in Spain. Then I carried on, and then I decided I wanted to do it again that August. And
Right.
I went back to Tanzania, and there's a neighboring mountain to Kilimanjaro called Mount Meru. And I climbed that 10 days before I did Kilimanjaro for the second time. And I think, in a nutshell, I totally overdid it, because when
Yeah.
I came, I was just coming back. In fact, no, it was just before summit night. I started to feel weird headaches, pins and needles in my head. I put it down to altitude, but it wasn't, it was shingles.
Oh
Shingles. I got
no.
shingles on this part of my head and my eye. And
Oh
when I came,
no.
I took an anti-altitude tablet and headache pills, and I had the best summit experience ever. The first summit experience, or in fact, my first experience, I went down poorly with a tummy bug, so that was a whole. And that's why I wanted to do it again, because I wanted to do it without the tummy bug, because I knew I'd enjoy it more. And I did. And I had a great summit night, despite, you know, the onset of the shingles. But when I came back down, I was so ill. I couldn't fly
Yes.
home. They took me to the medical center. I was diagnosed with shingles, and I was in my hotel room really sick for 10 days. And I've
Yes.
actually not still yet fully recovered my former health and fitness.
Nasty.
medication they gave me, I blew up with awful allergies. And again, to cut a very long story short, I found the solution in natural health and medicine. Somebody recommended a doctor to me, and I went to see him, and he sorted me out where no traditional doctors were able to. I'm healthy again now. I haven't fully recovered my fitness. I ended up with post-viral fatigue.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Yeah, so I can't do the amount of hiking and dancing that I was doing, but I am rebuilding that journey. But do you know what? There are so many lessons here for life. And that is why now my entire coaching is based around drawing parallels from something as simple as walking to life. It doesn't matter what you do, whether you just want to go for a 5 mile walk, climb Kilimanjaro, start a new business. I don't know, whatever your goal is, there are steps.
Yeah,
and you can't,
I think,
you can't, you can change your mindset in an instant, but you can't short circuit the steps.
Can't shortcut the steps you need, right, to build wherever you're going. Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
It does.
So that's what I'm doing now, is I'm helping people to get physical, because again, if a business, if somebody's goal is, I don't know, to build a business, whether that's a coaching business, a selling widgets business, whether it's, doesn't matter what it is, or whether it's to get promotion or what, you have to have your health first.
You
can't
do.
Do any of it. And at the source of health is your mindset. So I work with people to have the right mindset and to tell themselves healthier stories. And I say, this is going to be more powerful if you do these exercises outdoors. So go for a walk, you're getting fit, you're getting some fresh air, and you're training your brain and your emotions and your spirit all at the same time. So, yeah.
Sounds fantastic. Sounds lovely. I
can
really relate to the brain trying to tell you what to do, because I started doing park run only 1 year ago. I did my first park run, and I started doing park run because I coach, so I run Pilates classes around, and two of my oldest ladies in my Pilates classes, one being, I think my lovely, lovely lady is 86,
wow,
and one is 77, and they
cool.
park run. And in my classes, they are the fittest, mobile, healthiest, pretty, you know, high up there, comparable to people that are much younger than them. So I can only say, well, I looked at them and thought, well, there's something in this. There's something in this movement. And so I started park running. And the first park run I did had a little tiny hill, just a little one. Took my breath away. I couldn't, you know, I was so upset with myself for letting my body get to that point where it couldn't breathe to run up a hill. But now, a year later, it's about 14 months now, I can do that run easily. So I hear what you're saying about the steps. It's really important.
And it's about not being discouraged when, you know, in the beginning it feels alien and it feels hard. And, you know, and it's also about not trying to do it too fast and burning out. That was a mistake I made for years. And even when I started training for the Inca Trail, I made that mistake, and I had to learn, because, you know, I knew I had a deadline of to do it by the August. And yeah, my body taught me, and I started that. I had to start listening to it. And I still now have to listen to it.
We do, don't we? It's crazy.
But, yeah.
Interesting.
But the other thing is, and this is something that will probably interest you and your listeners, is when I was actually on my one of my Kilimanjaro trips, a guy told me about a book called Age Is Just a Number.
Oh, I love that.
And it's written by a guy called Charles Eugenie. Sorry, I forgot to turn my phone on silent.
That's all right. I'm writing down Charles Eugenie.
Charles Eugenie, Age Is Just a Number. And he was competitively running in serious international races, like world championship type races, at the age of 96.
Oh Lord, fantastic,
It's quite
fantastic.
funny because he did, I think, achieve certain medals because he had no competitors in
Oh yeah. Well, that's what happens because there's nobody in the age group
but he's
left.
still doing it. And yeah, I think he lived to the ripe old age of about, I think he got to 97. He didn't quite make
Hundred.
his 100, which was a shame. But he actually said that the certain things that he says, which are so important, movement and exercise is huge. And he said, brain for the body and everything. And one of the interesting points that he made was one of the biggest, killers of longevity is stopping working, interestingly enough.
Yes, I feel
He
that. Yes.
started a new business at age two. Because he said,
Oh,
when you stop working, you have no reason to get out of bed anymore, and you start to go on this decline. I mean,
yes.
obviously, it's not the same for everybody. Some people have other things that they do that get them out of bed, get them moving, get them
Yes.
interested, and all the rest of it. But I know a lot of people actually who get to retirement and then pass away not long
That
after because all of a
true.
sudden they got no reason to live anymore.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's weird.
I see that
So,
happening. So, and I also see people retire and then 6 months later they're back. 6 months later they're back at work because they've gotten bored with the retirement dream. So I think the retirement dream is a bit of a fallacy because maybe it's different for everyone, but you can only go on so many boat cruises and so many, I don't know, tours of this city or tours of that city. You have to have
and
other things
lunch,
to do. Yeah, and lunch. Let's do lunch again. It's like, oh, what will we talk about now? Because it's the same group of
and I think
people.
if you do anything too much, I mean, I love salsa dancing, I love hiking, but if I didn't have other things and I only did that, I would get bored with
Yes,
that too.
you probably would. Yeah, you would. It's interesting about, ageism, and age is just a number. I've been thinking a fair bit about this lately because people often comment to me, oh, you're running and be careful you don't hurt yourself. And what about your knee joints? And maybe you should not be doing that because you're getting a bit older. And I don't have any problems with my knee joints. I don't know. It's just, I think your body, if you do take it slowly and you feed your body well, your joints adapt. I mean, you can't be silly, you can't sprint.
And talking about knees, before I started the hiking, one of the doubts I had was about my knees because even walking up and down stairs, my knees used to scream at me.
Oh.
But once I actually started, that all went away. Once I was
Fantastic.
walking and hiking
Oh, good
regularly,
job.
I had no problem with my knees. Even on Kilimanjaro, my knees didn't ache or hurt at all. Now,
Wow.
when I now because I've had to curtail that because of my shingles and my post-viral fatigue, and I haven't been doing as much, the knees are starting to twinge again, and
Oh,
I'm like,
you can.
I've got to get out there and I've got to do what I need to do to strengthen my legs again, because actually not doing it makes it worse.
It does,
I mean,
just finding.
obviously, hey, I'm not a physical training instructor or a doctor or anything like that, so you might want to,
It's
take advice
personal.
there. But that's what I can say from my own observation, is that when I wasn't doing it, my knees hurt. When I was doing it regularly, so even on the Inca Trail, my knees didn't hurt at all. My muscles,
Fantastic.
I never got aching muscles at all.
Fantastic.
And
Yeah,
the same when
good.
I was doing Kilimanjaro. I got tired. The altitude
Oh,
took its
yeah, of
toll on me.
course. Of course, yeah.
But my muscles and my knees and my joints, no, they were fine.
And were the people that were walking with you of a similar age, or were they older
Oh,
or different or
all
different? Or
over. All
different.
different ages. Yeah.
And was it a tour group?
I went on my own. I went
Yep.
with a tour group. So, the night before you meet your fellow hikers.
Nice.
And it was the same when I did the Inca Trail. I did the Inca Trail with a company called Intrepid, and I did
Oh,
Kilimanjaro
my daughter
with
works for
GFN.
Intrepid. My
Yeah,
daughter
there's a
works for
great
Intrepid.
company. And then I did the Inca Trail with the G-Adventures. They were also amazing. They were all ages, all backgrounds. So it just goes to show that anybody can do it. And that's kind of one of the other messages I've got for people as well. It's never too late to start. I mean, I was 58 when I made my decision that I wanted to hike the Inca Trail. And at that time, I didn't do any hiking.
Nothing. Is
I
this
was
when you were
serious.
sedentary? You had your sedentary life and you were
Yeah, I was
there.
seriously overweight. And then I went on, and then before I know it, at 61, I'm doing Kilimanjaro. So it's never too late to
You know,
start.
that's not really a very long time. Like it's 3 years. It's not very long, is it, to get yourself to the top of Kilimanjaro? That's a lot of energy and effort and mindset and focus to get to that point. That's fantastic. Not very long.
Because I did, no, four years. That's it. I did, no, 3 years. I did the Inca Trail in 2019. Yeah, I did Kilimanjaro in 2022.
Not too long
Yeah, three
ago.
years.
Not too long ago. My
I
goodness.
would do it again. I mean, the other thing that I want to really inspire people is the feeling when you get into these places, and especially, it doesn't have to be as big as the Inca Trail, it doesn't have to be as big as Kilimanjaro, but once you start getting up into the hills,
Yeah, there's
it's
something.
so powerful in terms of the feeling. This it's almost like, and it doesn't matter what people believe in, whether they believe in God, Allah, the universe, whether they don't believe in anything other than their own divine self or whatever. There's something about being up hills that connects you with it.
You know, I sat on top of a hill or a mountain in Germany on my birthday. What year was it? About 2017. I was born in England, but we went to Germany to find some snow on my birthday because I'm December, so I wanted to see what was the proper birthday like for me because mine is always hot here. And we went up to the top of this mountain and I sat on the edge and the view was just phenomenal, like spread out before me. And I picked up a stone from the ground and held it, and I put all my thoughts into that stone so I could, remember the memories of the place. And if I hold that stone now, I can absolutely just feel the energy of the space. It's just wonderful.
That is exactly it. And that's what I did the same. I've got my
Have
I
you?
didn't do I think I didn't do it on the Inca Trail, but I did on Kilimanjaro. I
Yeah,
bought
you
a stone
did.
and Mount
Good.
Meru as well. And the one that I got from Kilimanjaro is a heart-shaped stone as well.
Oh, lovely.
And it's the same thing. And I teach I there's a lot of people who do these things. They'll do the Inca Trail, they'll do Everest Base Camp, they'll do Kilimanjaro, and it's just, oh yeah, done been there, done that, tick it off. And they're missing a lot of the
Yeah, the
point. And
essence of the journey, right? The connection to the whatever that is.
and what I do is, as well, as I teach people to do exactly what you just described. And that is be able to recall that feeling like that,
Yeah, it's
whether it's holding
magical.
a stone, visually taking yourself there or whatever, because who wouldn't want to feel that good on a regular basis, huh?
Oh, it was just amazing because we didn't have mountains that high in Australia. It was just, they weren't anywhere near as high as the mountains you've been to. But for me, it was a mountain and it was just magical. It was just beautiful, the view.
It is, but you don't even have to go up a big mountain, just a small hill. Even like there's a hill behind our house, and I think the top of it is less than 300 meters above sea level.
But
But
you
you
can
still,
see.
yeah, but you still get that sensation of being up above the rest of the landscape and seeing the view, and it's fabulous. And there's a little one close to us as well. And yeah, that one is a bit more of a, to you are climbing up that like 250 meters or whatever.
Oh, this one, yes.
And you do get that sensation of achievement when you get up there. It's fabulous. So you don't
Yeah.
have to go that high to
No.
get the same feeling and the same
Same feeling.
saying that, there's nothing that'll compare with the feeling of being on something like the Inca Trail or something like Kilimanjaro. I mean, that's
Because that
like
has all the, the history and the wisdom
yeah.
and the spiritual connection. We know this, don't we?
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
fantastic. Oh, I love it. I love all those things. They're so nice to feel, aren't they? You can feel it blessing you on the inside.
You can, and that is the great thing. You really, it's funny because as an ex speaker, or well, I mean, I still do speaking, but I used to teach speaking. I don't even have the words to describe that feeling. I've almost got to say, you've got to come with me, you've got to do it,
Yeah,
because
you have
I can't
to.
adequately describe how that's going to make you feel.
And it will be different for everyone,
It
anyhow. So
will.
you can't
Yeah,
describe
it
it, can
will.
you? Oh.
Yeah.
So I see you're a salsa dancer and you've got a brown belt in Kenpo karate. Is that correct? What is Kenpo
Yes.
karate?
All right, so Kenpo karate is like a street fighting type
Oh,
of karate that came from America.
you've done some stuff.
Yeah, and it was taught more for self-defense rather than for competition. Like a lot of karates, like taekwondo and all the rest of it, they're really, competition based. Kenpo was more of a combination between kind of the spiritual, the discipline, and self-defense. And Elvis Presley used to do Kenpo karate. There's a
Oh.
photograph of him somewhere with the Kenpo karate crest on his guitar. He had a sticker
Huh.
on his guitar. And it was kind of developed, the guy who developed it, I think he was friends with or he knew Bruce Lee,
Oh,
like this,
okay, very fancy.
yeah, going yeah, going a long way back. And I did it, oh gosh, a long, long time ago now, and I was the only girl, and again, I just wanted to see what I could do physically, and I really enjoyed it, and I did get up to brown belt. The only reason I didn't go any further was that I went and joined the TA, which is
The
the English Equivalent.
Territorial Army.
That's it. It's the
What
English
is the
equivalent.
Territorial Army? What is
It's the
that?
reserves. It's the reserves. So basically, you go and be a soldier, one night a week and on weekends, and it was a lot of fun. When I was a kid, I always longed for adventure.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
But when
How did
I
your mum
was,
keep you still?
well, this is the problem. I am of the age, and I was living in an area where little girls didn't do adventure or stuff like that. You couldn't join the Scouts, for example. Only boys at that time could join the Scouts. I
Oh.
joined the Brownies and then the Guides. But we never did anything the same. It was all about crafts, and we didn't go camping and do adventures. So I got bored with it and didn't stick around. And then when I was in my 20s, a friend joined the TA. But again, all my friends said, no, you're a girl, you couldn't have that. All those naysayers, you can't do that. You
Yeah,
can't
you
do that.
can't do that.
That's not for little girls. That's not for young ladies. That's not
Yes.
for women. And I think I was like, it was when I was 30, a friend of mine, who was a guy, he did a lot of karate, and I was like, well, I'd like to come. And for the first time, somebody said, yeah, why not? Come along.
Oh,
And I
so you
really
went.
enjoyed it. And then I started seeing advertisements. I'd been doing karate for about 5 years, and I was like, I think I was 34. I saw all these advertisements on the TV for the Territorial Army, and I want to give that a go. So I did.
Great.
And I joined literally a month before I would have been too old.
Oh,
So I went,
wow. You got
and
in.
Yeah. So again,
Fantastic.
it's like, but the people who tell you not to do these things are people who love you. They're your friends, they're your family.
Yes.
And I want to get that message out there. No, if your heart is calling you to do something, you've got to do it.
You do. You do have to do
And
it.
I think it was that adventure that made me want to do the Inca Trail and then want to do Kilimanjaro. And I got this constant thirst and, for adventure. This last November, I went to Costa Rica and did a charity trek where we walked from the coast to the pinnacle of one of the volcanoes
Wow.
because of my post viral fatigue. I was only able to participate in and out. I couldn't do the entire thing, the
But
whole
you did
thing.
it, right? You did it.
Right, yeah, I did what I could. And I also learned to accept that that was fine and I didn't need to burn myself out just to say I did it. Because that's a lesson as well in itself,
It
And
is.
yeah.
And where does
Yeah,
your
so
love of horses come? Where does your love of horses come from?
oh, again, I think that was because I wanted adventure. And I think when I was a kid, I used to read Enid Blyton stories,
Yes,
all about
I
adventure,
did.
famous life. And I also read, I can't even remember, but there were all these like stories based around horses and ponies. And there was a TV series called The Adventures of Black Beauty. And that was my favorite book as well as a child. And where I lived, there was a riding stables, and near me. It was a bit of a trek to get there, but I used to walk. It was like them days, it was safe. You could
You
just like
walked.
take yourself off. And I would walk along the railway. It was a disused railway track, and I'd walk to the riding school, and I would work for free in exchange for rides.
Right, okay.
And
Beautiful.
then when I was in my 20s, I was lucky enough to be able to afford to get my own
Oh,
ride.
beautiful.
So
Not
I've
anymore.
always
You don't have horses with you now.
no it, right now it would be too much of a responsibility and a commitment, and
Stop
because
you
I want
walking on your trails.
I wouldn't be able to travel as much. I wouldn't be
Yes.
able to go off and do the other things.
That's
So
right.
every now and again, if I feel the need, I mean, and for me, I see plenty of horses that I can go and cuddle. I don't have to
Yes,
ride them anymore.
right, yep.
So yeah, so no, I haven't owned my own for a while now, but I still love them. And I
And
ride when I can.
just quickly, the Inca Trail, the Inca, the local people, what kind of people are they? They're quite humble.
Hugely humble. And the thing that really struck me was they have a happy life, and yet they have very little.
Yes.
They are hard working, hardy people. They're very tough, but they're very fun loving. They, yeah, I love the local people. I really, felt that. And the guides, the people who, the porters and the guides, they're amazing. I never really got to know them as well as I would have liked.
Yes.
No, I put that right. When I went to Tanzania, I got to know the local people a lot more. I spent some time there volunteering. And the thing that really struck me, and I'm ashamed to say it actually, I had this idea before I went that, oh, it's a third world country. They're not going to be very advanced in terms of personal development and, all that kind of stuff. And actually, they were ahead of us. We need to
Oh.
go on courses to learn it. They seem to do it naturally. And I was struck, particularly so in Tanzania, by how happy they are, despite the fact they have literally nothing. They live
Oh.
in like shacks with tin roofs, a lot of them. And yet they are so happy. They have such a positive mindset. And they're so wise. The guides who looked after us, they blew me away with their wisdom. And I'm like, do you know what? If you could teach this stuff, you'd make great leadership coaches, because what they were teaching was, what they were doing was leadership.
Oh,
And
right.
it was doing
Yeah.
it really well. And like our head guide, for example, on Kilimanjaro, he was leading a team of eight hikers. But he was also leading a team of 24 guides and porters.
Right.
You know,
Yeah, that's a big job.
he had a small team of himself and three other guides,
Yep.
and then he had a team of porters and chefs and, you know,
Oh.
waiters and all that kind of thing. And he did it seamlessly. And you could see that they all loved their jobs. So the when the porters were doing their thing on the mountain, they might have been, you know, putting tents up, taking tents down. There was always laughter. There was singing. There was none of this, oh, I've got a job to do, I got to get on with it. There was none of that atmosphere of they seemed to really enjoy their work. They weren't there just because they were getting paid. And also they were very grateful. I mean, like they don't get much time off. And I said, wow, you know, like, how do you work like constantly without a day off? And they just said, we're just so lucky and grateful to have a job.
Oh, yeah,
They,
great.
you know, they don't even question their conditions or their time off or
No, they're
anything.
just happy to be there, right?
Yeah, they're really happy to be there.
So
Yeah, they're
if
lovely
you,
people.
thank you. If you had a couple of top tips for someone that was 58 that wanted to start hiking, what would you, are there special shoes? Do they need sticks? Is there a pack? They need to have a pack or
You,
a water pack?
to start with just a comfortable pair of trainers. The biggest tip is not to listen to anybody else.
Oh, good.
Not to let other people tell you that you can't do it. I would say to start with to get your own pace and rhythm, go on your own. Now, you can listen to your favorite podcast or your favorite music, or you can just enjoy, you know, listening to
Nature.
the nature, birds, and all that kind of thing. But the secret is to be in tune with your body. And to start with, turn around before you feel ready. Because if you walk until the point where you
Ah,
feel tired, you've still got to
right.
get back.
You've got to come back. Yeah, clever.
Yeah.
That's a good tip.
And just keep doing it, and then you'll figure out, you know, and keep a journal of how you feel. Keep a
Oh, that's
journal of,
nice.
I did mine. I kept a blog. I turned it into a blog. And you'll have up days, you'll have down days, you'll have days where you feel invincible, you'll have days where you feel like total crap. And just notice, hey, well, I'm feeling like total crap. Is that because I didn't fuel myself properly? Is it because I did too much last time? I haven't given myself enough rest? What is it? And you'll figure it out. And then go walking. You know, when you start wanting to go with people, check out how far they're going, how fast. Because I tell you, when I feel, well, even now, I join hiking groups and I say, I'm not, even when I was at my strongest, I've never been fast. And I say to them, I'm not a fast hiker. They, no. We go really slow. And I go with them and I'm like, you
Oh, no.
are really slow. You are having a laugh, you know? But don't let that put you off. You know,
Yeah,
go
right, okay.
figure out your own pace. So now I don't go with certain groups because I'm like, I don't want to route march.
Yes,
I want to
exactly.
enjoy the nature. I want to be able to go and say, look at that pretty flower. Oh my gosh, look at the shape of that tree. Oh, look at the view over there. I want to smell the air. I want to feast my eyes and all of my senses. And
Beautiful.
sometimes I will go on my own just so that I can take like my lunch or a flask and I can just sit down and enjoy it and I can do some like mind stuff. Then there will be days when I'll go with others and I'll go, right, okay. They're aiming to do, I don't know, so far in this time, that means I'm gonna need to walk at that speed. And I'll go and I'll say, that's a training hike.
Right, yes.
and I will go to push myself and see what I can do. But you've got to vary it. To work out your speed, I use an app called Wikiloc.
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 L-O-T.
C.
Oh, C. Wikiloc. Okay.
And it's not free, but I think it's like it's a ridiculously small amount every year. And you can find trails near you. And what it does, let me just find one. And I'll hold it up to the camera so you can see. This is one of my best tips. This is like my walking Bible. Okay, so what it does is it'll give you a map.
Right, okay. Yep, I've got the map.
You can follow the map, but it will give you statistics.
Yes. Okay. Nice.
And you can follow other people's trails. So it gives you, you know, elevation gain, it'll give
average
you
pace.
Average pace and all that.
Nice.
And what I do, even like if I'm just going out now just to, I don't know, the shops and back, I'll start recording and I'll walk at a comfortable pace. And then at the end, I'll look and I'll say, okay, so my average pace at comfortable walking is this. And then I can compare that with what these other guys are doing.
Yeah, good
and
idea.
I can go, that is going to feel fast for me.
Yeah.
Or I'll look at their pace and I'll go, I know I can deal with that pace. So it's a brilliant tool. That's a great tip to get going.
Good tip.
And
I
you
like
can see
it.
Your progress. When I was training for Kilimanjaro, I did the same route. And I could see my average pace at the start. And I could see that progressing as I went through. And that is motivational as well, when you can see progress, because sometimes you can't always feel that progress.
No, that's true. That's very true. Yeah, it's very true, isn't it?
That's a great tip. When it comes to sticks, depends on the terrain.
Yes.
If you're going to be going off the path, they're really good for helping with balance.
Yes.
If you're going to be going uphill and downhill, again, it's good. They're good for stability.
Yes.
You don't need them to start out with, especially if you're going to start on, you know, regular
background.
paths
Yeah.
And not too much of an incline either way. Certainly once you start going up tough terrain, I swear by them.
Yeah, okay. And there's all different weights and
things.
But
also, they are good because they do get your
upper body
going
upper body.
As well as your legs.
Yeah, cool. Oh, good. So people can find you all over the internet, I believe.
Yes.
Is that right?
My website's nice and easy. It's tinasibley.com.
Tinasibley.com.
Yeah. I'm actually starting a brand new Facebook group called Walking. Do you know what? I can't even remember what I called it. This is how new it is. I think that's right. There's two. I think I've got something like 20 members. That's all. Walking for Wellbeing and Success.
Is it four or the number four?
No, it's FOR. Walking for
Wellbeing
Wellbeing
and Success. All right.
And Success.
Okay.
I've got a couple of different, you know, very small Facebook groups, but that's something that I'm going to start, and I'm going to be putting together. I want to inspire people to actually get walking, because if you have success in walking, you can have success in other areas.
Yeah,
of your
I
life.
believe so. I believe so. Yeah,
and
I think it's
that
true.
Correlation. I think just getting your physical body healthy and being out in nature is going to help you in success. It doesn't matter if you want to be a musician, or sing in a choir, or run a business, or I don't know. For me, walking is the pathway to success.
Oh, beautiful. I love that. It's perfect. I was at a conference last weekend, and one of the main speakers said, in your life, you're either proactive or you're passive. So you either are involved with your life or you're waiting for life to happen for you. And I think I like the proactive approach.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I would much rather, take control, and it's surprising. And especially, when you feel like you're in a rut, when you feel like blah, just to get up and go for a walk changes your
Beautiful.
energy.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Just out in the sunshine. Beautiful. All
Yeah, and if the
right.
weather's good, it's amazing. Even if the weather's not so good, it can still change your energy.
Yeah, well, it can. I mean, I've not been running because it's been so damn hot here, but now the weather's cooling down
Yeah,
again.
that is funny because it's the hot that stops us more than the cold,
Yeah, I
because
think
it's
so.
exhausting when it's too hot.
You can't breathe and it's dusty and
I get that. It's much easier when it's too cold, and then you
you
could
can
just
rug
wrap up
up.
and yeah,
Yeah,
the heat
good.
is a bit of a killer.
It is. Well, thank you very much for your time. I'm sure
An
everyone's going to love
absolute
this,
pleasure.
listening to you. It's been fabulous. I couldn't wait to talk to you. So I'll get it up probably next week and I'll let you know when it's up and about so you can share it away
Sure.
or do what you want
I
with
will.
it.
I'll share it and I'll send people over to you as well. So,
All right.
yeah.
Thank you, my love. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.